It's good to see all of you here today. If you will, take out your Bibles and open them to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. It's good to see all of you here today, especially if you are visiting with us. We're thankful that you have come to worship God together with us and study from His Word so that we can grow in our faith and press on to maturity, as we were talking about in our Bible study this morning. I want to thank Kevin and Robert for preaching for me while I was out last week. Thank you for doing that and for the lessons that they presented on God's Word. And this month, this year, we've been thinking about ways we can grow in brotherly love. And I think some of the things that have been said in Bible class recently, some of the comments that have been made, some of the things that have been happening here has helped us to grow closer to one another. And to continue our thoughts this morning, I want to think about what Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says. It says, "Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." What I want us to consider this morning is the relationship that hospitality has with showing brotherly love. You know, hospitality is not something that we think a lot about, at least from a biblical perspective. We enjoy hospitality, we maybe practice hospitality a lot, but we don't think about it so much in sermons and Bible classes. But the Bible actually has a lot to say about showing hospitality. And especially when we look at what the New Testament has to say in relation to showing hospitality to one another as Christians. And so what I want us to do this morning is first of all, examine what hospitality is. I think there's some things we need to understand about biblical hospitality versus the way we think of hospitality today. Secondly, we're going to look at what Scripture has to say about hospitality. Thirdly, we're going to look at some examples, particularly one notable example of hospitality. And then finally, we're going to observe how hospitality and showing hospitality to one another can help us deepen our brotherly love for one another. So let's begin by asking the question, what exactly is hospitality? If we were to come up with a modern definition, what we think of typically in our culture as hospitality, we would say that it's entertaining friends and family. We would say that whenever you have a Super Bowl party or when you have your family over for Thanksgiving or Christmas, that's showing hospitality. And I want you to understand that that is showing hospitality. But that's not really what the Bible defines as hospitality. In the Bible, at least from an ancient perspective, the ancients define hospitality as entertaining strangers in their time of need. And so this is the definition that the Bible uses, because of course the Bible was written in ancient times. When it uses the word hospitality, in fact, the very word that's translated in our Bibles in our New Testament as hospitality literally means love for strangers. Love for strangers. And so we think of hospitality as shown to people that we're close to, people that we're comfortable being around. And that's included, but we need to understand that biblical hospitality is a lot more than that. So we see in Hebrews chapter 13 here in verse 2, where we're encouraged to not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. That's this definition. Showing hospitality, entertaining strangers in their time of need. Now, I asked Scott to read for us Genesis chapter 18, because here I think is an example of what biblical hospitality looks like. So here in Genesis chapter 18, this is the story of Abraham and Sarah being visited by three angels. And at the time, Abraham, at least initially, doesn't realize that these are angels. You remember we just read in Hebrews chapter 13 that by showing hospitality to strangers, some have entertained angels without even knowing that. And this could be what one of the examples that the Hebrews writer had in mind. So in Genesis chapter 18, the angels, of course, are bringing the message that Abraham and Sarah are going to have a son. And so it says, "Now the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day." Notice that it is the Lord who is visiting him. Verse 2, "When he lifted up his eyes and looked, Behold, three men were standing opposite him, and when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that, you may go on since you have visited your servant. And they said, So do as you have said. Now, in ancient times, hospitality was kind of considered a right of the traveler. When you are traveling, particularly in desert places, a place where there's not much water, not a place for you to stay in a comfortable place, it was kind of your right to go to someone's house. When you appear at someone's homestead or at a tent, it was kind of your right. It was expected that they would offer you hospitality. Abraham was fulfilling that custom here. And so in verse 6, it says, Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, Quickly prepare three measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes. Abraham also ran to the herd and took a tender and choice calf and gave it to the servant, and he hurried to prepare it. He took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed it before them, and he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. Notice that Abraham is hurrying here, and he realizes that these men are out in the desert, and he has things that he can provide for them. Abraham was a wealthy man. And notice not that he just hurried, but notice in verse 8, he takes the position of a servant. So as the people, as the three angels, the three men are eating this feast which he has prepared for them, he's standing by them while they eat. He's standing by to serve them. So the great man of faith, Abraham, the great wealthy man, Abraham, takes the position of a servant entertaining strangers in their time of need. And so in Genesis chapter 19, when the angels go to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham understands that they're about to destroy the city, Lot takes them in. So in verses 1 through 3, Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed his face to the ground. And he said, Now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. They said, however, No, but we will spend the night in the square. Yet he urged them strongly so that they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Again, notice a couple things here. The angels are strangers here, and Lot doesn't realize that they're angels. And they say, We're going to spend the night in the square, which would have been common sometimes. But Lot insists, You're not going to spend the night in the square. And I think that probably reveals his righteousness because he knows the kind of people that live there in Sodom. The story goes on. The men, when it gets dark, the men of the city rise up and they bang on Lot's door demanding that they bring those men out so that they can have sexual relations with them. Now, what had happened to those angels if Lot had just let them in the square? Lot realizes these people can't sit in the square. They can't spend the night there. And so he insists, I want to show hospitality to you. Now, the simple point that we're making here is that this is what the Bible describes as true hospitality. Showing kindness, showing care for strangers in their time of need. And so how do we need to adjust our definition of what hospitality is? Well, we need to add to our previous definition a couple things. First of all, the inclusion of strangers. Hebrews 13, verse 2, entertain strangers or show hospitality to strangers. We typically like to focus on those that we know, those that we are close to. But if we want to truly show hospitality, we're going to have to show hospitality to people that we know less and maybe are less comfortable around. And that, of course, demands of us some level of uncomfortability. Doing some things that make us less comfortable. Now, as we're going to talk about, that doesn't mean that we just open our doors indiscriminately, just anybody. But it does mean that we show kindness, and even we open our homes to people that we do not know very well. And secondly, this involves showing hospitality to those who cannot reciprocate, those that cannot return the favor for us. Look over in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, Jesus is actually the recipient of hospitality here. He's at someone's home. He's eating a feast with them. And it says in verse 12 that he went on to say to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." And this goes back to what true love is. True brotherly love is shown to those that aren't necessarily going to reciprocate to you. Jesus teaches on the Sermon on the Mount, what good is it if you just show love to those that show love to you? What benefit is that? But true love is shown especially towards your enemies, because your enemies typically are not going to reciprocate that. But that's showing the true selflessness that Jesus teaches us. And the same is true for hospitality here. We might say, well, I want people to come over to my house so they can see how nice my home is. Or so they can see, you know, our new home, as Shana and I have recently bought a house. But that's not really true hospitality is all about. True hospitality is shown to people who are in need, especially on those who cannot repay us. So what does Scripture say about hospitality? And let's look at a few passages beginning back in Hebrews chapter 13. First of all, Hebrews tells us that showing hospitality, especially to other Christians, expresses brotherly love. And of course, that's what we're talking about. How does hospitality express brotherly love? In this passage, I think it specifically identifies hospitality shown to fellow Christians. Let me show you why. Verse 1 talks about love of the brethren continuing. That's a special love that is unique to Christians, those in the family of God. In verse 2, he says to show hospitality to strangers. In verse 3, he says, remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Now, in the context of the book of Hebrews, these people were suffering persecution. Some of them were put in prison. And so the writer here is reminding them, look, you need to share and care for those who are in the body. Verses 1 and verse 3 specifically mentions this family relationship. So I think this is specifically a context of hospitality, Christian to Christian. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that hospitality should not be shown to those in the world, those who are not in the family of Christ. That's not what I'm saying. But the point that I'm making is that it should especially be shown to those who are in this family of God. And he says that some have entertained angels without knowing that. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we're going to be showing hospitality to strangers without realizing it, or angels without realizing it? Not necessarily, but I think the point that he's driving home is that when we show hospitality to one another, sometimes it does a lot more good than we will have realized at the time. I know there have been times where someone has shown hospitality to me or to my family, and they have no idea how they have encouraged us. They have no idea the sense of bond that we have built with them. They have no idea how they have built us up in our faith. And so sometimes we need to understand that that is a great benefit to others. Before we go on to this next point, 1 Peter chapter 4 says essentially encouraging us to show hospitality to one another again in the context of brotherly love. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 7, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, be fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint." So if we truly want to be hospitable to one another, We're to do that without complaint. I know many of you have had people into your home before, and you realize there's a lot of preparation that goes on in that, isn't that? You've got to clean, you've got to cook, you've got to make the bed, you've got to do all kinds of things. It's a lot of work to show hospitality, isn't it? But we don't begrudge that work, but rather we do that cheerfully because this is something that we are building our friendships, we're building our brotherly love to one another. Hospitality is not always convenient, is it? But and sometimes, even especially when it comes to showing hospitality for a brother or sister who is especially in a dire time of need, it's not always convenient for us to show hospitality to them, but that's the command of Scripture. Secondly, we need to understand that showing hospitality reflects a mature attitude. Have you ever noticed that one of the qualifications or one of the qualities of a man who can serve as a shepherd of a local congregation is hospitable? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 says, "An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, and hospitable." Hospitality is an attitude that reflects a mature Christian attitude. In the same way, it reflects maturity on the part of an older woman. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul is kind of laying down some guidelines of which widows to care for, those widows which are truly in need, and he defines the character that we ought to look for in an older woman. He says in verse 10, "Having a reputation for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work." And so hospitality reflects the selflessness, the servant mind that reflects maturity and the attitude of Christ. Thirdly, over in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus himself speaks of the importance of showing hospitality, even to strangers. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus challenges us with a pretty tough question. Initially, we might think it's a pretty easy question. But would you be willing to show hospitality to Jesus? If Jesus were to come into our city here, or maybe even come to your home, surely all of us would say, "Jesus, come into my home," and we would treat him like a king. But why do we not extend that same type of kindness and generosity and hospitality to Christ's people? So in Matthew chapter 25, in verse 35, he's talking to the group of people who are faithful and to the Lord. In verse 34, "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in.'" And of course, they go on to say, "Well, when did we do this to you, Lord?" And he says in verse 40, "To the extent that you did it to one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it to me." Are we willing to show kindness even to the least among us? And if we're not willing to do that, we certainly wouldn't even be willing to do that for Christ. So we should extend the same type of kindness and hospitality that we would show even to Christ. And then another point to make on hospitality, as we mentioned earlier, the Bible doesn't encourage us to just be indiscriminate about our hospitality, but rather 2 John verses 9 through 11 gives at least one example of times when we should not show hospitality. So the letter of 2 John was written to Christians who were in danger of listening to false teachers. There were a lot of false teaching that was going around at this time. And so John writes to them to warn them of this false teaching. He says in verse 9, "Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son." Now notice verse 10, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds." Now, I do not think that this passage means that we should not invite someone who is teaching a false doctrine into our home to talk about that, to study. But what this passage is warning us is to house that person in such a way that would support their ministry or support their teaching. Doesn't mean we can't offer them a glass of water, but it does mean that we should not support their teaching because they are doing something that is hurting the gospel of Christ and hurting the cause of Christ. So Christians were commanded to be discerning in their hospitality, especially to traveling teachers. Now, this command and this warning here would sometimes put Christians in a difficult spot. How do we know if someone is teaching the truth versus teaching falsehood? I ran across some things that were written about the early second century AD that gives some recommendations or counsel. Now, notice this is not scripture. This is just counsel. This comes from the Didache. It says, if a prophet orders a feast to be prepared by the Spirit, he should not eat of that feast. So, for example, if a prophet comes to your house and he commands by the Spirit of God for you to make a feast for him, he should not eat that feast. If he does, he's proving that he's false and he's taking advantage of it. Secondly, if he orders you to pay him money by the Spirit of God, then he's a false prophet. He's taking advantage of that. But if he comes to you and speaking of others' needs and telling you to help others, then he is a true prophet. So those are just some helpful examples to illustrate that we should be discerning in our hospitality to others, especially if someone is bringing a false message. But let's look at some examples. In a moment, I just want to focus on one particular example, the example of Aquila and Priscilla. But I want you to think about the many examples that you can remember in the scriptures of hospitality. When I was working on this lesson last week, I sat down and I just tried to think of all the examples I could think of, Old Testament and New Testament. And I made a list probably about this long. I know with my handwriting was pretty small. That's a pretty long list. And about half of it was Old Testament, and about half of it was New Testament. And the majority of the examples that I found in the New Testament were in the book of Acts. So, for example, in Acts chapter 2, when the church in Jerusalem was first established, it says in verse 46, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. First of all, the Christians in Acts chapter 2 showed hospitality to one another by eating with one another. Another example in Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, you find a small gathering of Christians in someone's home to pray. In Acts chapter 12, verse 15, it says that the Christians, the disciples, were praying in Mary's house specifically to save Peter from prison because Herod was about to put him to death. He had his mind set on that. The Christians were praying together. Excuse me, that's Acts chapter 12, verse 12. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 15, when Paul converts this woman named Lydia, it says, Acts chapter 16, verse 15, when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. She shows hospitality to the one who converted her. Time and time again, you find examples in the book of Acts of showing brotherly kindness, showing brotherly love by hospitality. Have you ever thought about the fact, the impact that hospitality has had on the spread of the gospel of Christ? In the book of Acts, the gospel spread by and large because hospitality took place. When preachers went from place to place, they didn't usually stay at a hotel. Hotels and inns did exist back then, but they were places of ill repute. They didn't want to stay in those kinds of places. Instead, they stayed in people's homes. In fact, Jesus instructed his disciples, you don't even take a bag with you. You don't take your clothes or an extra coat with you. You depend upon the hospitality of other people. And the gospel spread by showing hospitality. The kingdom was strengthened by people showing hospitality. The point that I'm making is that hospitality is an important work to build and grow the body of Christ. But let's look at one notable example. the example of Aquila and Priscilla. I think if you could define Aquila and Priscilla and how they serve the body of Christ, it would be through hospitality. Let me show you what I mean. Several examples of them showing hospitality. In Acts chapter 18, verses 2 and 3, they house the Apostle Paul in the city of Corinth. It doesn't seem like Aquila and Priscilla knew Paul before this. And so it says in verse 2, "And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers." Now consider the fact that Aquila and Priscilla had just been kicked out of their home in Rome because they were Jews. And consider the inconvenience of having to deal with that. Being kicked out of your home, having to set up your new home and kind of establish yourself in a new city. That's what Aquila and Priscilla are going through right now. But yet they open their home to this evangelist, the Apostle Paul. For a year and a half they did this. Paul was there at Corinth at least for a year and a half. And so they showed hospitality to him, even though he was apparently a stranger to them initially. About 5 years later, we find Aquila and Priscilla being spoken of in Ephesus. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul is writing this letter from the city of Ephesus, and he makes this note at the end of this letter. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. "The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house." Here, not only are they showing hospitality to just certain individuals, they are showing hospitality to the entire congregation. Back then, churches didn't typically meet in church buildings. Rather, it was more typical for them to meet in people's homes. Aquila and Priscilla opened up their home for the congregation there. But one more example. In Romans chapter 16, we find that the church in Rome meeting in their house. They're back in the city that they were kicked out of. Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 5. Paul says, "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks. Not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house." I want to make a couple points based upon that. First of all, they were called fellow workers with Paul. You don't ever find Priscilla or Aquila doing any public teaching, but you do find them doing some teaching with Apollos on the side, but you don't ever find Aquila, you know, standing before a congregation and doing public preaching or teaching. But what you do find them doing is opening up their home to other people. That's working in the Lord. That's how we can work together in Christ. Showing hospitality is one way to be a fellow worker of Jesus Christ. But secondly, taking all these examples, understand that wherever Aquila and Priscilla went, they showed hospitality to other people. Whether it was in Corinth, whether it was in Ephesus, or whether it was in Rome. Wherever they went, they made the choice to show hospitality. And they did this together. One of the amazing things that I love about Aquila and Priscilla is you find them always together in the Scriptures. You never, ever, at least to my knowledge, find them spoken of apart from one another in the Scriptures. They served the Lord and they served others as a team. And in many ways, showing hospitality is something that requires teamwork. So let's take some encouragement from Aquila and Priscilla. And then finally this morning, how can showing hospitality help deepen our brotherly love and our affection for one another? Well, first of all, showing hospitality can help build real relationships. And what I mean by real relationships, I mean you are who you are when you're in your home, aren't you? I mean, you don't have to put on a face or a facade when you're in your home. When you're in your home, that's where you really see who you really are, your true character. And so when we invite others into our home, they see who we really are. And secondly, Your home really is a part of who you are, isn't it? I mean, we go home every night. That's where we reside. That's where we sleep. That's where we eat. That's where we live. Our home is a part of us. It's an extension of ourselves. And so when we invite others into our home, we're not just opening up a physical building, but we're opening up ourselves. When you open up your home to someone else, you open up your heart to that person. And so this is how one way that we can build these real relationships with one another and grow to be true, genuine Christians to help one another. And this doesn't mean, of course, that we can't build these relationships in a church building. I'm not saying that we should demolish all church buildings here. I'm not saying that at all. But rather, I'm saying that it's sometimes very easy for us to come to the church building and put on that front. And put on that face that, you know, everything's okay and we've got no problems. But in our homes, it's a lot more difficult to do that. So in our homes, offers an opportunity for us to build those genuine, real relationships. Secondly, hospitality offers an opportunity to expand our spiritual relationships. Again, showing hospitality, if we're going to do it the Bible way, it's going to demand of us that we show hospitality to people that we don't know so well. Maybe there's someone here at this congregation that we don't know so well. Maybe it's someone that you don't, maybe you don't never had much time to get to know them. Maybe it's someone who's a relatively new member of this congregation. Here's an opportunity for you to expand your spiritual relationship. And I think this, practically speaking, can help cliques from forming, keep cliques from forming. Sometimes that happens in a congregation where you've got certain groups of people that only spend time with one another. But if we are showing genuine, true hospitality, that can keep that from happening. One of the closest parallels to genuine biblical hospitality is when a Christian is traveling and we open up our homes to them. And next month, Shannon and our children are going to be going down to South Carolina. Shannon's going to be helping with a young people's camp that we used to help out with down there. And she and our family are going to be staying with Christians there. That's a good example of Christians showing hospitality in a time of need. And that builds this sense of family relationship with one another. And so hospitality offers this great opportunity. But also, it opens doors for spiritual conversation and edification. In Acts chapter 20, Paul makes reference to the fact that he used to teach publicly and from house to house. Our homes are a great place for teaching and growth to happen. And again, that happens in a very more real sense when we are doing that at home. And so, you know, we need to think about how we can use our homes to build one another spiritually. We've been talking, at least in our Bible class recently, about how we can saturate our conversations with spiritual conversations. And how we can think about building up one another, not just talking about the weather, not just talking about a sports team, but talking about God and serving God. If following Jesus is important to us, then it will saturate everything that we do, and it even will come out in the way we use our homes. So using our homes to show hospitality will open this door for spiritual growth. And then finally this morning, when we show hospitality to others, it supports the work of the gospel. One more example here in the book of 3 John. 3 John verses 5 through 8. John is writing this letter in part to thank Gaius for his hospitality that he is showing to traveling preachers. He says, "Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, especially when they are strangers. And they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men, so that we may be fellow workers with the truth." So notice the emphasis there John puts on being fellow workers. If we support those who are preaching the gospel, we're supporting the work of the gospel itself. As we close this morning, I just want you to know that this congregation, I think, is a fairly hospitable congregation. There are individuals here who show hospitality to others. And we all have different opportunities. We all have different responsibilities and resources to use. But I want to challenge you this morning to think about how you can use your home. I want to challenge myself how I can use my home to show brotherly love to others. Whether it's a member of this congregation, or whether it's a member of a congregation elsewhere, or even if it's a stranger we don't even realize is a Christian, or know if they're a Christian or not. We have a lot of opportunities to show brotherly love towards one another, but our homes are a great place to do that. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you're not a part of this family, this is an opportunity for you to make that change. We're going to offer an invitation to you, but it's not our invitation. It's Jesus' invitation to you. He offers it. He offers you forgiveness and a part of this family, and He will take you to heaven. If you believe in Him, you're willing to confess that belief, you're willing to turn from your sins and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If that's your need this morning, please come to the front as we stand to encourage you with this song.